Jai Radha Madhava Kunda Biha. Jaya Radha Madhava Kunda Bihari Gopi Janna Balava Giri Vardari Jaya Radha Madhava Kunda Bihari Gopi Janna Balava Ya Sharananna Bhaja Janna Ranjana Ya Sharananna Bhaja Janna Ranjana Jamuna Chiravanna Chari Jamuna Chiravanna Chari Jai Radha Madhava Kunda Bihari Gopi Jana Balava Giri Vardhari Yashoda Nanana Braja Janna Ranjana Yashoda Nanana Braja Janna Ranjana Jamuna Chiravanna Chari Jamuna Chiravanna Chari Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare Jaya Krishna Balaram Jaya Krishna Balaram Krishna Balaram Jaya Krishna Balaram Jaya Radhesham 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 Jaya Radhesham Jai Go Hari Bo So we're back reading the Bhagavatam today. We're reading from Canto 10, Chapter 15. We've just started this chapter. It's the killing of Denika, the ass demon. And we're going to read texts 4 and 5. I'll read text 4 by myself. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Satatra Traruna Palava Shriya Palapa. I'm going to do this myself. Palapa Suno Rubarena Padayo Spushati Kandiksha Vanaspati Muda Smayani Vahagra Jam Adi Purushaha. Translation. The primeval lord saw that the stately trees, with their beautiful reddish buds and their heavy burden of fruits and flowers, were bending down to touch his feet with the tips of their branches. Thus he smiled gently and addressed his elder brother. Purport. The words mudha smayan iva indicate that Lord Krishna was in a joking mood. He knew that the trees were actually bowing down to worship him. But in the following verse, the Lord, speaking in a friendly, light-hearted mood, gives the credit to his brother, Balaram. Text 5. Shri Bhagavan Uvacha. Aho Ami Deva Varam Ararchitam. Padambujam Te Sumanak Palarhanam. Namantupadaya Shikha Biratmanas. Tamopahatyai Tarujan Mayakritam. Shri Bhagavan Uvacha. Aho Ami Deva Varam Bararchitam. Padambujam te sumana palarhanam. Namantu padaya shikha biratmanas. Tamo pahatyai tarujan mayat kritam. Please chant. Vaishnavis?
Shri
Shri Bhagavan Uvacha. Lord Shri Krishna said, Aho, oh, Ami, these, Devavara, O best of Lord Shri Balaram, Amara, by the immortal demigods, Architam, worshipped, Pada Ambuja, to the lotus feet, Te, of you, Sumanaha, of flowers, Pala, and fruits, Arhanam, offerings, Namanti, they are bowing down, Upadaya, presenting, Shikabhihi, with their heads, Atmanaha, their own, Tamaha, darkness of ignorance, Apahatyai, for the purpose of eliminating, Taro Janma, their birth as trees, Yat, by which ignorance, Kritam, created. Translation, purport. The Supreme Personality of Godhead said, O greatest of lords, just see how these trees are bowing their heads at your lotus feet, which are worshipable by the immortal demigods. The trees are offering you their fruits and flowers to eradicate the darkness, dark ignorance that has caused their birth as trees. Purport. The trees of Vrindavan were thinking that because of past offenses, they have now taken birth as trees and being immovable could not accompany Lord Krishna and his wanderings throughout the Vrindavan area. In fact, all the creatures of Vrindavan, including the trees and cows, were great souls who could personally associate with the Supreme Personality of Godhead. But because of ecstatic sentiments of separation, the trees considered themselves in ignorance and thus tried to purify themselves by bowing down at the lotus feet of Krishna and Balaram. Lord Krishna, understanding their mentality, simultaneously glanced at them with affection and praised their devotional service before his other older brother, Balaram. Om Vishnu Badai Krishna Stabhutai Shimati Bhakti Vinata Swami Tanam Namaste Saraswati Devi Gaur Anam Chara Shri Shishimadu Shatradish. So we're hearing more about the beautiful scene of the Vrindavan forest and Krishna Balaram's entering the forest, and here they're in a very good mood, joking mood, and Lord Krishna is glorifying his brother, Lord Balaram. And so it's describing a lot about the different scenery that's in Vrindavan, in particular here about the trees. And this reminded me of a play that we used to do in our ashram. And I'm just going to read a little bit of that play. It's a wonderful play. I'm sure it has touched many hearts. And it's one of my favorite plays. So I'm just going to read a few of the lines that have to do with this scene. And it happens that one great soul is wandering in the Vrindavan forest. And he's searching for Krishna. But he's searching not with his eyes, because his eyes have been removed, but he's searching with his heart. So this is what he's saying. How far is Vrindavan? Can anyone say? Can anyone help a blind man find his way? Where is Vrindavan? Does anyone know how far? Oh, what's the use? Who will hear me? I have lost my way. God knows where I am. The holy men say, go to Vrindavan. There you can meditate on the Supreme Lord Shri Krishna and you can die in peace. Well, I can die in peace anywhere. Do you hear that, my Lord? I can die in peace anywhere. I heard you. Boy, old man, you certainly have a loud voice. Who's there? Only a cowherd boy. I've come because you're disturbing my cows with your shouting. I brought you a bowl of hot milk to calm you down. Hot milk? From where? From a householder nearby. Surely you must hear the bells from their evening worship. Ah, yes, the bells. Now the sun sets in the west. Another day has come and gone. Come sit down here, over here. Sit down and rest yourself and drink. Ah, you are very kind to an old man. This milk is delicious. Tell me, what is your name?
My name is Nandulal. I'm a cowherd boy in this village.
And what village is that?
The village of Vrindavan.
Vrindavan, the land of Krishna. Oh, Vrindavan, I'm here at last. Nandulal, please, describe this place to me.
Well, there's not much to describe. Just a bunch of trees.
Just a bunch of trees? Why, don't you know that these are special trees? They're Kalpa Vriksha wish-fulfilling trees. Beneath their roots lie valuable stones and jewels. These trees can give you whatever you want. Tell me, are you from Vrindavan?
I've lived here practically all my life.
And the play goes on. Maybe someone can do it. Again, it's a wonderful, wonderful play. But here it's describing that Vrindavan is full of these wonderful trees, very special trees, as we see here in this purport. They are very personal. They have personal relationship with Krishna. And they're very conscious, sentient, living entities, just as the fruits and the flowers and the rivers and the rocks and everything in Vrindavan is. And so Krishna recognizes the great personalities in these trees. And he can read their hearts, and he can read their minds, and he knows their intention to offer to him so many wonderful things. But actually they're offering them to Krishna, but Krishna, out of affection, is saying that, look, oh, they're offering to you these wonderful things, Lord Balaram. But in the Srimad Bhagavatam, it describes a lot about the importance of trees. Being a woodcarver, I only know trees when their bark is off. But I do know the significance of trees, getting to offer nice carved things for the Lord. But in the Srimad Bhagavatam says that trees are very auspicious. Some trees are very auspicious, and they're used in fire yajnas and sacrifices to decorate temples on special occasions. Banana trees are usually brought in and put all around, and coconut trees are auspicious. Mango trees and their leaves decorate the Lord's temples on festivals. And especially these trees here in Vrindavan are very special. But they're also the trees in Krishna's pastimes. They give shade. They give their roots so that when Krishna and Balaram have been killing demons, they can lay their head like on the roots like pillows, and they can be cooled by that shade. They can give medicinal things to help our bodies. What else can they do? They can give their fruits. They give their flowers. So many things. Trees are very, very auspicious. And here, this is the whole scene that Krishna and Balaram are engaging in his pastimes, full of trees, stately trees, it says here, beautiful, beautiful trees that adorn the whole forest. And they also make up kunjas. These are the cottages where Krishna and Radharani have their pastimes. So they're very, very important in these pastimes, as we'll hear. And soon we'll hear about a special tree called the Tala tree, which is a special fruit where this ass demon is living. Also, if you were to go into the Vrindavan forest during Krishna's pastimes, you might see parrots taking shelter in the trees and birds. Parrots and birds that can hear and observe Krishna and Radharani's pastimes. And sometimes even you'll see parrots upside down. They've fainted in ecstasy after hearing and seeing these pastimes. Just like Krishna's flute today is upside down, it must be in ecstasy. I think Krishna can play it anyway, in any position, but it is definitely flipped upside down, having touched his lips, I'm sure. Even Lord Chaitanya embraced the trees when he came to Vrindavan and was inquiring from the trees, oh, where is Krishna? Where is Krishna? So these trees play a valuable part in Krishna's pastimes.
I don't know if you've ever been on circumambulation in different paths in Vrindavan, but many times you'll see people going around the trees, going out of their way, off the path, to go around particular trees because they consider them very sacred. I always wondered how you could really take circumambulation unless you went all the way around the whole Braj, because you want to go around all the trees, but that would take forever. And our daughters used to be on Prikama, and we noticed everyone bowing down at certain things, taking it to their heads and everything. And so they started going to different trees and doing the same thing, and then everyone behind them would do it, even though they didn't know what they were doing it to. But there was no loss, because every tree in Vrindavan is sacred. And we should have great affection and respect for these trees. I know that in Vrindavan, till this day, there's a lot of agitation when a tree has to be cut down. There's been a lot of actually court cases and things like that, because these are great and personal associates of the Supreme Lord, just as we see in this purport. This whole scenery here is not ordinary. Everything is conscious. We don't find that here. But we find that hankering to have everything conscious. We like personality. Even in so many different ways, it's very popular now that they animate things and they sell everything by this animation. And there's one person that used his imagination so much and so much animation that he created a whole world so that everyone here could experience everything conscious. And he called it the Magic Kingdom, which is only about 2 hours from here. And you know that people are so excited about seeing something personal and animated, wanting so much to have an association with other living entities, that this year over 57 million people will visit this Magic Kingdom. Just think if so many people would come here and start reviving their relationship with the most supreme personality of Godhead, Krishna Balaram, right here. So that should be our aspiration. Although Mr. Disney, he used his imagination to do this, he also went a little bit far-fetched, thinking that he would someday be made animated again, froze his body, and hoping that he'll become conscious again. But I don't think we'll see that happen. Maybe in another lifetime. But Krishna Loka is a very different place. It's not made out of fiberglass, resin, and all those good things, make it out of molds and computerized and everything like that. It's a real world. It is the real world, where everything is conscious of Krishna and everyone's thinking how I can serve Krishna more. Just like here, the trees are bowing down, trying to offer these to Krishna Balaram's feet. Krishna Loka is not a dry, dull place. People want to go to this Magic Kingdom because this material world is such a dull place. Driving to Ocala the other day, it was a real cold day, and just looking around, we were thinking, oh, it's so ugly. I mean, especially in winter, everything is just dull, no color. It's just, you know, dry. Not a particularly wonderful place. But we were thinking about in Krishna Loka, that there the cows are even checkered. Checkered cows. How wonderful. I bet you that doesn't even happen in the Magic Kingdom. And then the different friends of Krishna are all different colors also. And then the rivers, they're also conscious and are anxious to come up and touch Krishna's lotus feet. The Vedic literature is full of different living entities that are not your ordinary living entities, as we see here. Just like Garuda is the bird carrier, is half man, half bird. And then we have Hanuman, who can talk and do so many wonderful services for Lord Ram. And then, just like tomorrow, is Lord Varaha's appearance day. The Lord himself can take so many different forms. So variety, yes, variety is the mother of enjoyment. And Krishna Loka, the supreme abode of Lord Krishna, is
the abode of supreme enjoyment. We get to actually, if we can return there soon, we can actually partake in giving this enjoyment in so many different ways to Krishna. So this this desire to have a personal relationship, even with other non, you know, human-like entities, is very much within our heart, because that's where we're really from. We're actually from the supreme abode, which is fully conscious. Even the advertising business uses this. Maybe you can help me think of some great animal personalities that we even see on billboards these days. I can think of a lizard. Everyone has seen that lizard, right, on the billboards, selling insurance of some sort, car insurance, I don't know, something, Geico, is that what it is? Can anyone think of somebody else, another animal? Yeah, poor Piggly Wiggly. Oh, poor thing. Yeah, and what about somebody, another animal? What? Yeah, actually, Mr. Disney started his big magic kingdom with two mice and a goofy dog and a very obnoxious duck, you know? Yes, back there. Yeah, poor chicken. Yeah, I like the cows, though. The cows on the billboards that go, eat the chickens, eat more chicken. So actually, if you could ask these animals that can speak, if you could ask them to please tell us what you're thinking, what do you think these animals would say? Right. Beware of humans, right. Yeah. A lot of mistreatment. Although we are so fond of this little Mickey Mouse and the ducks and everything else, what are we doing to all these animals? We don't really have the ability to understand that they are persons. And therefore, we remain in this impersonal, dry Marchaloka, a place of death, where almost nothing is conscious when you think of it. I mean, even two-legged animals are barely conscious. And only very, very, very few people want to be Krishna conscious. As is said, it's a very rare soul. But we understand that in Krishna Loka, that there's great affection for all living entities. Just as we see here, Krishna and Balaram are addressing the different animals and plants and trees. They have great affection for them, and vice versa. And here we see that Krishna and Balaram are joking and laughing, having a good time in the forest. But we can see that many envious people here, they'll see this scene and they'll say, what is God doing in this forest? Joking around with his, what, a brother? Laughing in a good mood? No, no, no. He should go back on the throne where he belongs. He has serious business to do, right? He shouldn't be able to be like that, joking around. He should be back at business. So simply envy of the supreme personality of Godhead. And that's the disease that has gotten us here. So gradually, with the process of bhakti, learning how to churn this affection for Krishna through service, will we ever be able to change our consciousness back, which will allow us entrance back into Vrindavan. So we have a lot of work to do, because we do have bad habits, and many times we do forget that everything really is conscious. And sometimes our affection for other living entities is really not as strong as it should be. But in Vrindavan, even in the early morning, the affection for the cowherd boys, they get up earlier than Krishna, and they come and they wait. They wait for Krishna and Balaram to get up and to get dressed so that they can go out into the forest and have all these pastimes. And they help dress and escort him to the cow barn and do all the pastimes there of wrestling, and then coming back for breakfast. And then affectionate
Srimati Radharani has been cooking breakfast by Mother Yasoda's request because she's such an excellent cook. And so Srimati Radharani is waiting, watching Krishna eat his breakfast, and then all of a sudden sees that Krishna has a twisted face after eating something that she's prepared, and she's all upset, wondering, oh my gosh, did I do something wrong? And Krishna's just making fun and laughing, increasing the affection between the two of them. And the affection goes on and on. Even Mother Yasoda has made the best butter for Krishna, from the best milk, from the best cows, and has been put in the best pot just to please Krishna. And of course, the affection that Krishna has for his mother is always demonstrated. And even more affectionate are the gopis, of course. They see how fortunate the bamboo trees in the water are, because, well, they don't have a bamboo flute on today, but the bamboo flute is always touching Krishna's lips. So they are most fortunate. So this is the atmosphere. It's full of affection for Krishna. It's a whole different place. And we should hanker to go there with all our hearts. Meantime, we can do whatever we can to develop that affection also. As we see here, Krishna has such affection for his brother. He's not trying to push his brother down like we may have done to our brothers and sisters so that we can be pushed up. But he's pushing up his brother with great affection and glorifying him and saying, yes, they're actually doing this for you, Lord Balaram. So it's a different consciousness that we should be looking for even in our god sisters and god brothers, always pushing them up, hoping that they will advance, speed past us in their advancement so that we can run after them and try to catch up and also advance in Krishna consciousness. That's the atmosphere of affection we should have in all these temples, that we're happy to see people advance and hoping that we can tag along behind them. But then it makes me want to also dip into a little bit of the brothers' pastime in their forms of Lord Chaitanya and Lord Nityananda, because that is also Krishna Balaram. And there was great affection for them. And since it's Lord Nityananda's appearance day, we can also remember how Lord Nityananda was always very submissive to his brother, Lord Chaitanya. Lord Chaitanya actually asked him to go back to Bengal and to preach, although he didn't want to. He did go back, except for at Rathiyatratam, he would sneak away and go visit Lord Chaitanya. But there was also one incident where Lord Chaitanya, especially in the Bengal area, when they were preaching together, he asked Lord Nityananda and Haridas, please, would like you to go door to door and get everyone to chant the holy names of the Lord. And so they took that up with great enthusiasm. And they would go door to door, and people would say, these two brothers, they're mad. They've had too much association with this crazy Mahaprabhu. And other people would say that, I think they're spies. I think they're just coming to my doors to check everything out, and they're just going to be thieves and steal everything later. And then other times they would go to doors and they would be beaten, and Haridas and Nityananda would run away laughing and think, this is all for the pleasure of my Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And Lord Chaitanya would ask them to come back at night and to tell them how it went every day. And so they would come back in the evening and say, oh yes, this householder let us in, this one is now chanting the holy names by your mercy. And soon when they were out there, they heard that there were two very fallen brothers, Jagai and Madai, that really needed deliverance. But they were warned, don't have anything to do with them. They've killed so many Brahmins and everything. Don't risk your lives. But when they went back in the evening and told Lord Chaitanya about this, Lord Chaitanya suggested that they try to deliver them. And Lord Nityananda was thinking, ah, if I do this service and we can deliver this Jagai Maitai, then just see how this will glorify my brother, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Just see how the whole world will see how wonderful and merciful Lord Chaitanya is, and how much faith everyone will, how it will increase in them all over the world. So they went out the next day and found this Jagai Maitai, and they were warned again, don't approach them. You'll be very sorry. You'll be so very sorry. But they did, and we know the story of how they begged them to chant, and how the brothers got so angry and ultimately hit Lord Nityananda in the head. First they were running after them, and Haridas Thakur was saying, oh, now look at Lord Nityananda. I'm following you, you crazy you person. And now I'm risking my life. I'll see the end of my life today because of your miserable activities. Oh, and they would go on running, laughing, looking behind them, following, seeing Jagai Maitai trying to follow them. And people would see them running, you know, being chased, and they'd say, aha, see, I told you, this is what you get. And that's what you deserve. And they would say to Haridas Thakur, and why, Haridas Thakur, why are you hanging around these three intoxicated persons? Yes, these Jagai Maitai are intoxicated, and this Nityananda is also intoxicated with love of God. Why are you hanging around them? But this is to show how much affection Lord Nityananda had for his brother, and for actually for the whole world, to help deliver all the fallen souls, and to make Lord Chaitanya very famous. Actually, this pastime has been heard in every country in the world now. This pastime will probably be recited in the next few days about how Lord Nityananda and Lord Chaitanya delivered the most, almost the most fallen. The West hadn't really gotten going then. I'm sure we outdo them by far. But just see, Lord Chaitanya and Nityananda are delivering us also. And we can take part in even delivering the people at the monster truck, tractor pull, whatever it is. We can help deliver all those fallen souls that have just forgotten that they are residents of Vrindavan. They are residents and affectionate lovers of Krishna Balaram. So we should show our affection to Lord Nityananda by somehow or other taking part in this delivering of the holy name to everyone. This is our sacrifice. Here the trees, they're bowing down and giving so many things. They're not being complaining about being cut, used as firewood. They're like noble sages sacrificing everything. In the same way, we should be like that and sacrifice ourselves to the Sankirtan movement, which is the greatest sacrifice for this age. And we can become just like humble trees and bow down to everyone we meet and ask him to please chant the holy names of the Lord. And I think we'll see that the affection in our hearts for the Supreme Lordships, Krishna Balaram, will increase day by day. So maybe someone else has something they'd like to say about this pastime. There's not a lot of philosophy in these purports. Yes.
Just talking about the character of Lord Nityananda. When he went out with Haridas Thakur to preach, sometimes Nityananda would become sidetracked. He'd look in a river and he'd see some gators or some crocodiles, I'm not sure which. And he'd decide, oh, they look like they're having fun swimming. So then he'd jump in and swim around too. And actually Haridas, when they come back in the evenings, Haridas Thakur would complain. He would say, you send me out with this guy Nityananda, I'm supposed to go door to, you know, I'm supposed to be doing business, and he'll take off and go swimming, you know. So what kind of person have you, or preacher have you given me to go with? So anyway, just an aside of Nityananda's personality.
I was in the garden with Sri Papa one time, and they could hear all the cars banging
going somewhere in the parking lot next to it in Los Angeles, and they asked where everyone was going, Prabhupada asked. And they said that, they're going on Sankirtan, Prabhupada. And Prabhupada said, I remember he leaned back on the bench, he said, "Ah, yes, this is Lord Nityananda's program, going door to door and getting everyone to chant the holy names." So he was very pleased to hear that everyone's going out. Okay, if there's no question, one more back there.
Earlier you were talking about trees. Granted, allows a manu. If you cut a tree down, it's considered like an offense, and you have to atone for it in different ways.
Where is this?
In the laws of Manu.
Really?
Yeah. So I can remember one day I took Keshava to cut some trees for me. He said, "Today's Ekadasi, I'm not going to cut any." I was wondering how he actually know about that, because I read about this a while back and I knew, but I was amazed, So we should be conscious, that even trees, and especially like fruit trees and so, we have to be very careful.
Yeah, you drive, especially in Florida, they raise pine trees for, construction, for newspapers and pornography and all that kind of stuff. It's a shame. If the trees could talk, I think they would complain. Okay, so then we should somehow or other take part in Lord Nityananda's movement. If anyone would like to, we're going to Santa Fe Community College and chanting for Ekadasi to the Krishna lunch. If anyone would like to take part, we'll be there from 11 till 1. Jai Srila Prabhupada ki jai, Vrindavan dam ki jai, Krishna Balaram ki jai.